Mikhail, someone's coming, my brother Nikolai shouted, running into the barn. Is she here? No, I answered, barely breathing. I just put her in the hiding place and came back to get some food. The sharp, grinding sound of a vehicle on the gravel road at the front of our farm grew louder. A battered yellow truck pulled to a stop, and two men jumped out. The driver, a heavy-set man who looked like he forgot to shave, said, "Hello, boys," in a friendly way that I knew was not friendly at all. His passenger, a pale-eyed young man, carried a pole with a leather loop on the end. Nikolai and I stood still and silent. They walked through the open barn door uninvited. "What do you want?" my brother asked, using his most grown-up voice. The driver didn't answer right away. He walked slowly around the area where my father had built pens for the geese and the pigs, although it had been 4 years since we sold our last pig. It seemed very little escaped his attention. The man with the pale eyes stood quietly, but he too was looking closely at everything in our barn. As casually as I could, I picked up a bucket of feed and walked to the goose pen. "Excuse me, it's their breakfast time." The driver reached out and grabbed my upper arm as I passed him, making me stop. I tried not to show my fear as I looked at his hand and then into his eyes. "I understand you have a German shepherd here."
"You're wrong. May I?"
I asked, looking toward the mother goose and her three little ones as if our conversation were over and I wanted to finish my chores. He let go of my arm.
"We have no dogs at all. Not since the year before the war started," Nikolai said.
I was just 2 years younger than my 15-year-old brother, and together we had learned to lie well. Not because we were dishonest, but because Russia had been at war for 4 years, and it was sometimes necessary to keep you out of trouble. The man with the pale eyes stared hard at us, as if willing and ready to do whatever his companion told him to do. The driver lifted the lid of a grain storage box and peered in.
"Many dogs starved during the war," my brother continued, which was unnecessary because everyone remembered how little food there had been and how many people and animals had died of hunger.
The pale-eyed man looked at the driver as if to say, "These two are idiots. They have nothing to tell us." The driver ignored him, then stopped in the middle of the barn, hands on his hips. He looked up at the ceiling, where slivers of light came in through the cracks between the planks of the roof.
"Why, I wonder, would anyone tell us lies about such a thing?"
My brother and I looked at each other and shook our heads as if we couldn't imagine.
"Not just a dog,"
he said, looking at each of us as if we were confidants,
"but a German shepherd. Where is specific? Only traders would keep a German shepherd,"
his companion said, practically shouting at us.
"Or maybe you are traders. Maybe you are hiding a German and not just a German dog."
"Stop!" my brother yelled at him. "How dare you accuse us of such a thing? Our father was killed in the war by Germans."
"We're not sure he's dead,
Nikolai," I said, angry that he would talk about our father in front of strangers. Even when it was just us together, we never talked about him as if he were gone for good. My voice got louder.
"He could be in a prison camp or a hospital or..." "Settle down, boys,"
the big man snapped. To his partner, he added,
"Pavel, go wait in the truck."
Now that Nikolai and I were alone with the driver, my hands started shaking. To keep him from noticing, I put down the feed pail without finishing the chore, walked to the wall where a rake rested, picked it up, and began to tidy the hay on the floor.
"If you have a German shepherd, we will find him,"